We'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting for July 14, 2021 to order, 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Byers. Up first is the consent agenda, approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held June 30th, 2021, approve all claims through July 14th, 2021 in the amount of $509,716.04, accept claim number 2107089 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $208.64 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve one-year extension letters for EMS agreements, extending them through June 30th, 2022, and authorizing the chairman to sign. I think I already signed those.
We already did that, didn't we?
These are different?
These are those, that letter, the single letter.
Oh, when they've come back?
Yeah, and we're missing, I think, Cortland's yet. But this is the letter that we'll, you'll sign now that they've signed. That
okay.
They want to extend, and then we'll send them a copy.
Approve clerk of the district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of June 2021. And just clarification on that, that EMS letter, we did approve sending those out. So we signed the initial letter. It went out to each of the EMS groups. They signed it saying, yes, they want to do that. They've sent it back, and this will be to approve to sign the second signature line, which I have signed on the wrong line each year, at least on one.
The first one was initial letter signature. Second one is now okaying the extension. So that's the second signature.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any items to pull off or discuss? Seeing none, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2107089 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $208.64. This brings the total of claims approved through July 14, 2021 to $509,924.48.
You said 48 at 68.
68 cents. Thank you, Senator.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Please vote. Five in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for Board of Supervisors. Seeing none, we'll go on to committee reports. Building and Grounds, Winter Lights.
Dave Jones.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Winter Lights will be happening before we know it. I brought up Trina Construction started work on the Evidence Building parking area, starting to do some saw cuts so they can start scooping up that old concrete and getting it out of there. I'm going to work on getting bids for the sprinkler system and should have those by within two weeks to present them. Masonry Construction thinks that they will be finishing up on the south side towards the end of this week. It really looks nice. They've done a good job really matching the colors of it on this and over dyeing the areas that needed a little more attention. They did find a problem. There is a large, there's four stone pillars up above the south doors. And there's the one, it'd be the west one, started just pulling away a little bit. It's a good-sized block. It's a flat face, and then it actually rounds to make that, to form the pillar. Well, just that very end is starting to break away, and so they recommended they're going to pin it and put some resin in there and then just take out a piece of stone, grind out a piece, and put the washer nut on there and then resurface those areas. So he thought it'd be like three or four pins to do that, and he said that shouldn't be a very costly thing at all to do it, as far as they do it at time and material, and it won't take very much time. So The exterior lights at the detention center has brought to my attention that we had a bunch of bulbs burnt out again. I just switched those not too long ago. They're the mercury halide style bulbs, and it just seems like they're burning out very quick, which probably means the ballasts are going bad on them. So we're going to I'll get a price and probably just replace those with a small LED wall pack unit. There'd be 13 lights that go around the detention center. I'm going to work on getting the specifications for starting the ramp replaced with, this would be a bid to replace the concrete on the handicap ramp on the east side and retubing it for the hot water to take care of the snow melt. We have had issues with it the past couple years where it still works, but I'm afraid the circulation, the pipes are distorted or something. It just doesn't flow very good. So on a real small amount of snow, it can handle it, but anything over several inches, it starts melting it, and then it turns to ice. So we have had problems with that, especially last year. Luckily, we didn't have a whole lot of snow during that time.
But that can be a real liability thing if we don't take care of that appropriately.
And last thing would be we had our five-year boiler inspection over at the detention center. That's where we open it up and they come down and have to visually inspect the fire tubes. And he gave me a thumbs up on that. He said it's all in good shape, should last for quite a while yet. He made the comment that that boiler was made in 1977, and he said they've had real good luck with those from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's when you get into the 80s and 90s were the ones that they see don't have that long lifespan in them. So he felt like we should have, as long as we need it in there, it should work. And same way with the air conditioner. We have the air conditioner is serviced regularly, but they have had to change out a couple compressors over the years and the fan units on top. But otherwise, that's holding up together real well also. So keep just plugging away with what we got over there at the detention center. So that's what I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do, Dave.
Equalization.
I'm back in at 1 o'clock. Nothing else.
Approximately 71 protests, it sounds like.
Yes. Approximately.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $72,382.56. Manelli Wagner and Associates, Engineering Consulting, $19,468.80. Rock On Incorporated, Township Material Hauling, $11,238.59. This is the first time I can remember Gus hasn't had a large ticket item.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Gus.
Miracles happen. Yeah. Miracles happen.
Human resources, employee relations. I suppose human resources will have a closed session for some discussion on that at the end of the meeting. Law enforcement and emergency management. Nothing from the sheriff, no big ticket items. We will continue to look at additional patrol cars, though, as the sheriff gets some information on those.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Yeah. I know I talked to committee the last time about possible storm damage. I just wanted to give you an update. We were very lucky. Total overtime hours with power companies were right at 38 hours. So lucked out there. So we won't have to put any claims in for NEMA. So, and then just a reminder for zoning, next Thursday is our hearing for the proposed wind regulations at 7. So here. That's it.
That's Thursday the 22nd.
Yep.
To 7 o'clock. Road and Bridge.
Discussion on the State Line Bridge, landowner's property, can't access somewhere else. Galen's to get copies of structures and weight ratings for Lisa for emergency management vehicles. Galen's brought us up a proposed budget for next year, this year, next year. And fracture critical bridge inspections will begin August 1st.
Also, we have the tree letter from Roger here that's been given over to Galen. I suppose we'll get a copy to the clerk's office and also to Lisa just in case they come in and it goes through there. There was question Monday about roadsides being mowed. Can this letter be applied to roadsides that aren't mowed? Right now they're supposed to mow twice a year, once by July 15th?
Or July 1st.
July 1st.
Yeah. I believe, isn't it?
July 15th.
15th? Okay.
Send them a copy of the statute and highlight the dates. These people know what's going on. And I mean, it's not like they just bought the property and nobody told them about this.
And some are really
good
about it.
Most of it is just a reminder to people.
So just send out a copy of the statute for the mowing.
If Becky wants to put a note in, you know, we've received a comment about your roadside or something.
Yeah, normally, I believe she posts that in the paper twice a year, too, I believe.
Yeah.
I think Gus has the fuzz looking for that when they're out and about, too, the trees and roadside mowing. But, all right. Anything else?
What's the access of getting gravel? Are they keeping up, or...
Galen, will you talk in the microphone? Sorry, for the record. If I'm not mistaken, we're finally on fall for 2020 or sooner we're on, now.
Yes. And Rockland's been doing a good job. I can't tell you what township we're on for sure. But I do know that there's been a couple times where, like the Alexandria pit breaks down. So then the pal pit gets overrun, so they can't keep up. So there might be some trucks go over there and have to sit if they're going to sit for an hour or two to get loaded, or they'll just turn around and leave. But other than that, as far as I know, they are both producing pretty regularly now.
They both have gravel now?
As far as I'm aware of, yes. So, but I do know of two times where the Alexandria pit has broke down for at least one day. So that overloads the pal pit. So, and I know the pal pit's been broke down once or twice too. So other than that, I believe, because I know Rockland has been pretty irregular for calling in and requesting a new township map to start on. So
they are on the spring of 21?
No, they're finished up 2020.
Fall of 2020.
Yeah.
That is done?
No, they're working on the 2020.
I think Beatrice Concrete had a few. Rockon has most of them, and I think Tiemann had four.
Yeah, I believe four.
All the spring of 2020 is done, and now it's on to fall of 2020. So fall's got a ways to go, and then we'll move on to spring of this year.
Yes. When you can't get the gravel, you can't get it hauled.
That's right.
But, I mean, just looking at the claims there, Rockon's pushing some miles out.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. Getting the townships taken care of. Like I said, therefore, I know about every week and a half, I know he's been calling in and requesting another township map. So for our guys, the flags, and then Becky sends them the map, and they continue on. So it's been
I did see where Logan day. Got some.
Okay.
So. But
any other questions for Road and Bridge?
Yeah, what's the follow-up on the mowing the grass on the roadsides if this letter doesn't provide any further action?
That's a Roger question.
Yeah, honestly, on the we've never had a problem with that come up, so I'm going to have to research it. I mean, like the trees and brush, no, that provides eventually gets to my desk. But as far as the mowing of the ditches...
Well, is it state statute that the...
Yeah, it's state statute. So, I mean, I just don't know what the consequence is. Like this one, I can actually end up taking them into court if they don't do
yeah.
that.
But well, that's probably why we have a problem is because nothing's ever been pushed before. There's a lot of roadsides that are dangerous that need mowed. Some are worse than others because it's on a curve, same way with the tree situation. And I feel that we need to follow up, send the letters, yeah, this time. But then what? Because I can pretty much assure that nothing different is going to happen just by sending out the letters. It might remind a few people, but we're going to get into fall and into winter without roadsides being mowed.
If a letter's sent, it'd be from the township probably, but if it could be on county right away too.
Well, of course.
If the letter's sent, and it's... What do you do if you send out a letter? Or do you send out letters for county right-of-ways if they're not mowed or for trees?
If there's a complaint, yeah. If we get a complaint in, yes, we'll follow up and look at it. Either we'll talk to the individual and or if nothing happens, then a letter will go out.
And then if nothing happens after the letter, do you just send a letter up to Roger then or – or have you had that issue? Has everybody cleaned it up?
Never really had an issue to send back to Roger for mowing on that, that I'm aware of anyway.
I'm not aware of anything. The last one was that one just a little bit west of the homestead. And I don't know if Gus was involved with that a little bit, too.
And the townships, it would go to the township attorney, and then if they need help, I suppose they can talk to Roger, but technically that's two separate.
Right, but the county has roads we need to be concerned with that aren't getting mowed.
And if you see any and you want to let Galen know about that, I suppose that would be the thing. Call the highway department, say there's this road at this location. I guess if we're not policing it, though, unless there's a complaint that comes in.
Yes. And is that something the deputies are watching for, too? That's the way I understand it?
I don't think we said anything to them about mowing, only about trees and line of sight.
Yeah, we're only dealing with the trees and bushes. I just gave my list. I just gave my list to Galen for Becky. I got the south half of Blakely yesterday afternoon, and I'm just looking for the encroachments on the roadway, right-of-way, but roadway is what we're looking at. Anything beyond that, no, we haven't started. We're just starting to do that now, but not the grass and stuff.
Well, we just got a letter from Nirma. Baxter came up here and did a spot check in the county, and he had one place that he was a little excited about when somebody didn't give him the right-of-way. Welcome to our county.
Well, there were some intersections out there. Roger and I have talked about that on used being days past, about a half acre of the taller crops, like corn would be mowed or just disced down and on all four corners. And there were a couple I was at, you had to literally stop and work your way out to look both ways. So don't go down that road. It's just kind of gone away over the years, apparently. But they are farming every inch they can possibly get. And between that and the trees and bushes, it's making it difficult at times.
Well, and the bottom line is there's only so much you and Galen can do. People need to take that speedometer and drop it about 10, 15 mile an hour from here till harvest. And that's the best advice I can give them. Yeah. That corn looks real good, but it's real tall.
Probably not just until harvest either.
No, year-round.
High speeds there.
Yeah.
So does state statute indicate trees that are only encroaching upon the road, or is it specific to county easements?
The county easement would be the right-of-way. That's the only easements we have. So it'd be trees in the right-of-way.
So they don't have to. Trees in the right-of-way that are obstructing view fall into the category, not just the encroachments onto the road itself. Is that what I'm – because you're just looking for encroachments onto the road itself, right, Gus?
And then the intersections.
Right. But it can be in the easement and not on the road. And I assume you're talking about hanging out over the road or in the road.
Yes.
Well, there are trees in the easements that are obstructing view and not necessarily on the encroaching the road itself.
And that's – any township or county road. I mean, it could be anywhere along the mile.
Right. And there's plenty of them out there. And that's all I'm...
But if there's any... If there's any of us want them to look at, I mean, just call the highway department, let them know where it's at.
Well, I'll tell you right now, drive all the roads in my district and see what you can find.
That's the
problem. Any district.
That's the problem is, though, they don't have time. They don't have time to go police.
It's our liability.
It's the individual's liability that owns the property. But no, I mean, that's
the court will find out who's liable.
That's why we have insurance.
Well, you don't want to have to use your insurance.
Well,
is that how we operate?
No, but you want Gus and the guys doing lawn patrols, or do you want them enforcing?
Well, they're out patrolling the roads. It's easy to see. We've got to start somewhere. Nobody's getting anything done. Townships are upset because nothing's getting done.
And the townships are responsible for that. So
yes, and we got to back them up. The county roads aren't any better. So how are we setting an example for the townships?
The county roads, we could ask our patrols to send in complaints anywhere that the trees are in the way. And I think they do because they don't want to hit their machines or anything on any of the trees.
Well, it's the same way with the co-ops and the fertilizer people that drive their road gators and stuff down the road. Farmers with combines, they have trouble getting through places and doing it safely. And, of course, that's an additional watch. Everybody needs to be careful and do their own good duty. But there's places that's dangerous.
But our patrols, they do turn in any bad spots with trees, and then those are addressed. The townships, if you have townships in your district that aren't doing their job, I would talk to those.
They're doing their job. Boards. They're waiting for us to follow up.
Do you have any letters from any of the townships, Roger?
At our annual meeting, it was very obvious that townships weren't happy that we weren't following up and backing them up.
I talked to most of them. I don't know that any of them had anything for us to follow up on. They hadn't sent letters out. They asked what they could do, and this letter's here, and we're going to make sure we make that available to them again. But this is the same letter that Rogers provided ten years in a row. So this will be...
Because the first year I didn't know they didn't have one.
9 years. So this will be at the clerk's office, the highway department, and we'll get it down to emergency management also, just because people come in for planning and zoning. It's a township responsibility now.
And it's a county responsibility on the county roads.
It's a county responsibility.
Subject to townships. I'm talking about the county.
And the county roads, if there's anywhere or township that you want them to look at... I'm sure Galen would be happy to go out and take a look at it. And our patrols, we want them to continue to report any trees.
But they don't patrol the blacktops.
Well, but we still have guys out on the blacktops. Okay. We still have people out. I mean, if you look at the reports from the highway department, we do a lot of tree trimming.
I realize that.
And
but we shouldn't have to be. Some of it should be the landowner. And that's my point. The landowner should be taking care of that. That's what the state statute is. There's places that goes above and beyond the call, and I can think of a few as far as the landowner. I know that it's difficult places to keep trimmed, especially where there's waterways, large drainages in the road ditches, and there's willows growing, and it come back every year. It is difficult to manage that for anybody. But there's places.
There's an area where you think there's a problem. Get a hold of Gail.
I just told him.
Okay.
Well, you told him to drive your district. That's not realistic.
Each county road. It is realistic. Eventually, it don't have to be done all tomorrow.
You got to realize.
Sure, he drives them randomly anyway.
There's only so many resources. We can do that, but what do you want them not to do then?
What do I want them not to do?
If we're going to pull resources...
I'm just talking about state statutes and laws that cause us liability.
Laws are great. They do cause liability. But what would you like him to not do so that he stops to do that?
Eric, that's a... What kind of a question is that?
Well, there's a set number of resources. We have so many
I'm just
hours.
Asking that the roads, the trees, and the roadsides, that state statutes that requires us to enforce... the law be done. To sit here and ask me what I do not want not to do, I'll say anything that doesn't keep. I don't even deserve an answer, Eric.
Well, I'm just trying to ask a logical question. We can do that. We can ask them to do whatever. I mean, I'm just saying we're going to set them up to do what we want. If we ask them to do something, I assume they're not just down there twiddling their thumbs.
Right.
If we want them to do something else, we need to kind of say, okay, take it easy on this. We want you to focus on this. Or if we just want them to kind of continue like they are, we can do that. But I don't want to ask them to do something but then not set them up to be able to do it. It's like we ask Gus to lower a speed limit somewhere, but we don't give him the resources to patrol that. We've just put another, you know, we've just asked him to enforce something we don't have resource for. Unless
we're
going to
ask the landowners, we're going to, we should enforce the landowners take care of the tree problem.
Well,
as state statute requires.
It, and I agree with you. If there's any properties that you think of, call down there, and that goes for all of us. If the patrols have areas that are bad, have them keep reporting that to you. We'll make this letter available. The mowing, I mean, that's one that's been bad different times. We'll hopefully, I mean, the townships really need to take care of the townships. We can't step over them. That's their,
yeah.
That's their area. If we have areas that are bad that need mowed, if you see anything, turn it in. Otherwise, I'm sure your guys, I mean, we can give them a quick reminder when we talk about other issues here in the next month. Just say, hey, if you see bad roadsides with trees, if we see long grass that hasn't been cut, radio it back in, and we can make a list of those. And usually just a little contact from whoever's out there, or if you're out and about, or whoever's talking, that usually is easy on the mowing. The trees are still a tough one. But no, we'll...
Yeah, let's move on. That's fine.
These are important ones.
Thank you, Eric.
Up next, approve or disapprove 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds. This, of course, is a procedural issue. It's to allow us to raise the lid 1% in addition to the 2.5% allowable yearly. But it doesn't mean that we have to, but we do that every year just in case as a precautionary method.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any fervent discussion on this one? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove community-based juvenile service aid grant and subgrant, and authorize chairman to sign both. Christina, would you give us your name for the record, and
sure.
Good morning.
Christina Lyons, for Director of Juvenile Services, Gage County MAPS. What you have in front of you is just the first year of a two-year grant. They changed the process a little bit this year for juvenile justice for the Crime Commission. If you want a breakdown of the budget, I'm happy to do that, or whatever questions you have.
Any questions for Christina on this? This will be an ongoing yearly grant.
For 2 years, the total, I wrote a CB grant or community-based grant, and that is money that is allotted to the county because we do the juvenile services plan, that three-year plan that I think I brought in maybe March, sometime in there. And then I also wrote a competitive grant for I think it's called an enhanced-based grant or something like that. And that's for our juvenile truancy program that Roger and I have been working on.
And for a total of $72,000, that'll be money that comes from the state and is injected into our area without
Correct.
That coming directly from our local property tax.
Correct. We don't, in years past, we've had to have a match for this grant, and that always came from money we already spent in county court for juveniles, but we do not have to have a match for this anymore.
Any questions for Christine, or do you have anything, Counselor?
This is basically what enables our office working with the school and a lot of other agencies that that Christina coordinates to help basically the youth in this county. And you know, it'd be very difficult without these funds coming in. So
this is a great program. You do a wonderful job, and we need it. We need it for the people in our county.
Thanks.
I would entertain a motion.
So moved. To approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Seeing no additional discussion, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Christina, there's also a claim, and I talked to Roger a little bit about it. It's for diversion. The everything's in place. We'll just need a little backside on the claim itself, just showing basically a receipt type thing. So we need some. We have where money came from. We'll just need where money went with the claim.
You might just stop and see.
Okay. Yeah, just stop in and visit. They talk to him. It shows everything's there. It's just it on a claim process. We just need to show where it goes. So
okay.
More or less just the red tape into things.
Okay, perfect.
But
come back later and get
do you
those.
Want or this now?
I would love those now.
Well, we need to get a copy of it.
Can she just run it across the hall? Oh.
Would it be possible just to make a copy so we have at least that if somebody wants to see it? And sure. then bring the copy back when everybody is signed?
Thank you, Christina. Up next, approve or disapprove response to the FOP grievance on Juneteenth holiday pay. We called our labor attorney, Jerry Pigsley. It's basically the same as the Christmas Eve holiday. The grievance was the FOP wanted paid for Juneteenth since it was declared a holiday by the president and Congress, and then also by the governor. The handbook for the county says anything that's declared or federal holidays, things like that, are holidays. The FOP contract specifically states 12 holidays. It doesn't have the wording in that allows for declarations, proclamations, additional holidays. In negotiations, that was at one time offered, and not denied, but
they didn't take your offer.
Yeah, they denied our offer, so that came back. When the final FOP agreement was made, that was not included, and they still have their specific holidays listed. So the letter is almost identical to the other letter on a similar subject. That's the response that Jerry Pigsley has prepared. And we have a copy of the letter here if you want to review it. But I just went through it. It's almost verbatim. The only differences are dates and Juneteenth versus Christmas Eve. But it's the same denial because of that's the contract wording.
Move to approve.
Moved by Haxby.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Before we vote on this, I will say we didn't forget on your motion that would look at three or four holidays. That'll be coming up in a couple weeks. We're going to go ahead and talk to elected officials ahead of time and also have them as part of the discussion going forward if we're going to increase our number of holidays, decrease our number of holidays, change anything. But that'll be a discussion that we have later on. This one is simply contractual language and just abiding by the current contract. Any other discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Now we'll get heated up. Discussion on 30 by 30 land conservation program. And I missed one, huh? And potentially approving or disapproving resolution opposing 30 by 30. I guess where would you all like to begin on this? This is the stuff coming from Washington right now. It talks about having 30% of our land conserved by 2030. We don't have anything specific on this. Nebraska is primarily a privately owned state where states like Utah, I don't know the exact percentage, but I know it's over 80%. It may be over 90% is public. States like Colorado, Wyoming, Alaska, a lot of public land already. But Nebraska is not on that side of things. Nebraska is primarily a privately owned, privately managed state. So this has been a hot topic lately. We talked about a national heritage area, the Kansas-Nebraska National Heritage Area, a couple weeks ago. These are completely separate. That heritage area, there was some misunderstanding, I think. The board is not against heritage areas whatsoever. This one was just seen as a little too large, perhaps, and just didn't have favor at this time. But there was also talk by Mr. Schuler in support of heritage areas, Mr. Lytle in support of a heritage area, possibly by the homestead or something that would help our area maybe more directly. I guess I'll open it up to discussion on this 30 by 30 land conservation program, if this is something we want to. Oh, she's on Zoom now.
Yeah, I invited Tanya Storer to answer any questions and kind of give an overview on why to talk a little bit about this 30 by 30 program, since she's really involved and knows what she looked into this a lot.
Do you have her where she can, so we can hear her?
Yes, let me. Tanya, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning.
You want to give like an overview?
Yeah, I can certainly just kind of give you, I guess, what Cherry County is. Some of you may know I serve as a commissioner over in Cherry County. And we took this issue up several weeks ago, I guess the mid-April, I believe, and did pass a resolution. Happy to share that with you if you want to take a look at what we did. But, you know, generally our feeling, looking at the executive order that President Biden signed on January 27th, is that it gives a broad directive of conserving 30% of the land and water in the United States by 2030, but lacks specific detail in terms of how that will be implemented, given the fact that there's a end goal without detail. We felt it was important to be proactive and make it clear that we were opposing efforts that would restrict land use in any way from a federal government overreach standpoint, or would remove lands from productive uses from any voluntary or otherwise from a government overreach standpoint, because as you'd stated earlier, we are 97%+ privately owned in the state of Nebraska. Agriculture is our primary industry, not just in Cherry County, but in the state. And it's important to protect future uses for the agricultural land, as well as the subsequent, you know, the reality of that as a tax base. And so I could go on into a lot more detail in terms of what we know, what we don't know on 30 by 30, but you know, our effort is to be proactive, to stand up for principles of the future uses and protect the flexibility for future uses of land, for private property ownership, That's sort of the broad overview, but I'm happy to answer any very specific questions. I would add just one more quick thing. I know there's, you know, certainly the Biden administration and Secretary Vilsack and others have kind of come out and pushed back and reiterated that they're calling this everything that they want to do voluntary and respectful of private property rights. But when you peel back the layers and understand based on, for instance, the CAP report, which is a Center for American Progress that really sort of gives some background to the executive order and a bit more detail as to what we can assume they mean by conservation, which, by the way, they won't define, the Biden administration won't define that. But two things. One, they don't have the statutory or constitutional, authority to just take land arbitrarily. Obviously, the Fifth Amendment provides for protections of the government takings without compensation. And so I tell people that's really not a concession. That's not a win for us to say, yay, they're not going to, they are going to respect private property rights. It's an admission that they do acknowledge constitutional protections. But the second thing regarding the 30% goal and this unwillingness to define what they mean by conservation, when we look at what agriculture has done through the generations, I think we would find agreement that we do practice conservation. And those conservation practices continue to evolve, and there's innovation in doing that. And so if conservation by the standards of agriculture is what they mean, then we wouldn't need a 30% goal. We would already have surpassed that. We would be including agricultural lands in conserved. And so that in and of itself is making it very clear to me that the Biden administration's definition of conservation is something very different from agriculture's definition of conservation. And so this has just been an effort to be proactive, and certainly I think the governor has expressed, ag groups have expressed a willingness to have dialogue, but we're simply not getting details back. So we have a responsibility to protect our tax base, and it's no secret I'm conservative in my political policies, and so I am a fierce defender of private property rights. There is strength in numbers. You probably all understand and would agree with me that a resolution is simply a statement. Certainly it carries no weight in terms of legal enforcement, but it is a statement that we're now over, I believe, as of last night, I think we have 52 counties in Nebraska that have passed a resolution to this effect. And so it's just sending a strong message of where we stand on the issues of local and state involvement in land and private property decisions. And I guess I'm an advocate for being proactive rather than reactive. So with that, I will stop and happy to answer any questions.
Tanya, just real quick, sorry, I don't know if you gave your name for the record. I just want to make sure we have that on.
Oh, certainly. Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A. Last name is Storer, S-T-O-R-E-R.
And nice to hear from you again. Okay, questions from the board for Tanya. Ms. Axby.
To be clear, when we talk about this resolution, it's more of a statement like that we're watching. We don't oppose any CRP programs that farmers already utilize. I mean, we like those, but we want a sunset date on those, and just that we're watching that these aren't going to be misused. Is that right?
Yeah, was that directed to me?
Yes.
Yeah, I would respond to that. You know, the programs that many folks in agriculture have utilized and worked very well with the government on, like CRP, CSP, EQIP programs, certainly are not what's under here in any way. It is just as you said, sort of we're putting the federal government on alert, I suppose, to some extent that we're watching to see that we don't have further encroachment or overreach, regulatory overreach starts to be built in to those or new programs. I think there's been a long history of success. But mentioned those programs are termed. They expiration date certain practices for a certain period of time worked very well. So no, this is not taking a stand against any current conservation programs that agriculture has worked with.
I would go and add to that. This is just objection to this program as a whole. If there's additional conservation, it doesn't make a statement against additional conservation or private conservation for that matter either. Additional questions for Tanya while we have her on the line?
No, I totally agree with her and her statement. I think she's totally appropriate, and I think that we absolutely need to pass a resolution opposing this 30 by 30 program.
Other comments from the board in general?
Yeah, I'll make a comment. The governor's campaign in this resolution is full of misinformation designed to create division and fear. This is completely for partisan political purposes. End of my comment.
Sorry. Additional comments from the board? I guess I'm not against conservation by any means. What makes me nervous with this program is we've seen programs like the Waters of the U.S. Luckily, that went, you know, there was lawsuits against that, and that was overturned. A puddle in someone's field could become a navigable waterway. We see things like that from the feds. Along with conservation, we have the anti-cattle lobby. That makes me nervous. We're a livestock-friendly county. We, Nebraska surpasses Texas in beef production. I don't know if we were this year, but we're always right there at the top. We're a cattle state. You see things like the anti-oil lobby. We aren't dealing with that here because we aren't blessed with oil, but be it in Alaska or wherever else, a lot of that's public land, and if we put permanent easements in place, we don't know what that'll do. A permanent conservation easement may say this is no longer usable land. Managing conservation is really important, but I think it's also important to use your resources when you need to. So those are some of my fears here. The permanence is really scary if it's a permanent easement. I don't think anyone up here, I see four farmers, all of us being involved in agriculture in one way or another, I don't think any of us would say we don't want to see conservation and good use of our land. But with that, I would ask for a motion.
A motion to approve the resolution opposing 3030.
Which is resolution 21-12.
Second.
Motion by Dorn. Second by Byers to approve the resolution opposing the federal government's 30 by 30 land preservation goal. Miss Haxby.
I'd just like to make one comment. I don't know about so much of misinformation that was being put out there. It's all based on stuff that the government's put out. And nowhere in this resolution saying that we oppose any CRP programs. I am one of those farmers, and I see absolutely no reason to oppose a CRP as long as they have a sunset date. I just don't want to see them misused. And so basically this resolution, as Tanya said, is a statement in saying that we're watching to make sure that those programs aren't misused because we rely on agriculture here. That's what this resolution is.
All CRP contracts have a deadline date. They expire.
That's part of the reason you don't oppose those, I assume.
Yeah, they expire.
And any future ones will have an expiration date.
You never know that. Okay.
We assume so. I mean, I would assume so.
So what are we afraid of?
Permanence.
You just said it has an expiration date. Go ahead. Proceed.
Additional comment? If not, I'd ask you to please vote. 5 in favor, with Schuler voting nay, to approve resolution 21-12. Motion carries.
Thank you, Tanya, for zooming in this morning.
Thank you for the discussion as well.
Thank you. And
okay. Up next on the agenda is a closed session for personnel. We are going to take a 5-minute recess before going into that closed session. Before we take recess, do we want to keep Gillen and Mark here for this presentation?
I would say so.
I would agree with you, sure. Terry.
I think it's probably appropriate just since it's personnel down there. Counselor, is there any Do you have an opinion one way or another?
Is this a report coming in?
Yes.
And again, in all deference to them, you know, if I don't know what's in the report, they don't. You don't know what's in the report.
No.
You might want to hear what they have to say,
and then have them
and
come in.
And then have a personal visit with the two gentlemen that run it. I mean, that'd just be a thought.
Oh, Pam,
I'm sorry.
Could you come up to the microphone too? I'm sorry. And give your name for the record. You might have the, yeah, like Roger said, you may have the best advice here for us.
Good morning. Pam Bourne with Woods and Aiken. I do believe it's appropriate for both gentlemen to be present during the next session.
Okay.
Gentlemen? They're gentlemen?
They are gentlemen.
We didn't ever notice that.
With that, then we will recess for 5 minutes. It's 9:36. We'll come back at approximately 9:41 on the clock, and we'll be in closed session.
Did you bribe her to say that? I'm still here trying to do the right thing because she tells me.
I would ask, we'll reconvene at 9:47 on the clock. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:47.
Still have to have the door open.
So move.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Haxby. Please vote. 6 in favor. We are in closed session at 9:47.
Do you announce your
purpose? Ness, are you still on?
Okay, go on.
Okay, we're going into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. This is a personnel issue.
And I'll print them off for you.
Okay. I would ask for a motion to go back into open session at 11:51.
So move.
Lacking a second.
Second.
Oh. Moved by Dorn. Second by Schuler to go back into open session at 11:51.
We don't have a quorum for that decision.
Terry.
Terry's right outside the door.
Gary's.
Gary's here. Well, he can't.
Oh,
can
he can't vote.
Hey, guys, we need a vote. Come out to quorum. Or closed session.
Aye.
Motion by Dorn, second by Schuler to come out of closed session, 11:51. Please vote.
7 in favor.
6 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? If not,
we
are adjourned at 11:51. We just did.
Yeah, we can adjourn for the regular meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other meeting's recessed. But
thank you, Roger. Good to see you.